Talking about God and His undeniable power, His undeniable presence, His undeniable love, all the things that are so great about the God that we serve. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to go through that every week. The kids are going to learn some other aspect from God's Word about His amazing power, His majesty, His lordship, His love, His care for us, and all of that. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And today, we're going to start with the beginning. And we're going to talk about God and His creative abilities and how amazing our Creator is. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so I want us to begin just with this really a fundamental verse found in the first verse in the entire Bible, found in Genesis chapter 1. It's about God making everything. And the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that really starts it all off, isn't it? That God is the one that created everything. It wasn't random chance. It wasn't some purposeless kind of, you know, accident that we all came into being, that the stars and the galaxies and the sun, the moon, and all the things that we see around us and on earth, the plants and the animals, all that came into such perfect order and perfect existence, but that there was a creator behind it and that God is the one that did it. And sometimes we can forget because we lose perspective. Maybe we get caught up in the regular rhythm of life. Maybe life gets us so busy. It's like the old saying, I don't see the forest for the trees. But in the beginning, God did create the heavens and the earth. And I want to have four volunteers from maybe our kids this evening. And if you want to volunteer, I need four helpers for me to just begin this evening. And I got hands raised up high. So I'm going to start over on this end. And we're going to go with a guy in the blue shirt right there. You're good. You're number one. And let's go look over here. Oh, hands went down. Okay, well, that hand right there, yep, you're number two. And the guy in the green shirt, number three, and you over there, right there, I'm pointing at you, you're number four. Come on up. I want to talk about God's creative ability and what He does. So, I have four spheres. You know what a sphere is? A sphere is a shape, right? It's not a circle. It looks like a circle, but it's three-dimensional. And so we've got four spheres that I'd like to give you, and the first one is the smallest, but it's not the most insignificant, so I want you to take this with you. So, this is the first one, a marble, and you get the marble. What's your name? Alexander. You get a marble, okay? I'm going to tell you what that represents in a second, Alexander. And you get a ping pong ball. What's your name? Natalie. Great, Natalie. That's super. And you, what's your name? Hey, I know you from soccer, right? Did you play soccer with Ben? Yeah, well, I'm Ben's dad. Give me a fist bump. Way up there, man, that's awesome. You're a good player, by the way. You used to have longer hair, you got it all cut off, eh? All right, well, it's good to see you. And you're going to have this sphere, which represents, you take a wild guess, it's what that represents, Earth. And you, what's your name?
Will.
You've been here before, Will. Will, you see that big beach ball? That's yours, so go get it and bring it up here, okay? Will gets the beach ball. All right. Now, the first two is I want to take Natalie and I want to take Leo, and you want to come up here, okay? Come on up, and you can stand off to the side, Alexander, and Will, you guys stand off to the side over there. This has been our first demonstration. Now, well, I just want you to hold up the earth. I want you to face everybody. I want you to hold up the earth, and I want you to point it in the right direction. Let's go north, south, right there. So there you go. So there's the earth. This guy's got the whole world in his hands. Isn't that awesome, right? And this is a representation of, let's imagine we shrank the earth down to the size of this ball, this sphere, this globe, okay? And about the right size, Natalie, you want to hold up your ping pong ball? That would be what the moon is. That's what the moon looks like. Now, you see the moon up in the sky, right? Sometimes at night you see it. It's clearer than during the day, but it's always there, right? And the moon is 400,000 kilometers away from the earth. But that number probably doesn't mean a lot to you. So I want you to guess, just holding this, I want you to guess how close or how far away the moon would be to the earth. And these are about the right sizes to each other. So you stand right there and hold up the earth nice and high. Just stand right there, yeah. And then Natalie, no, you don't move. Just stand right there. You're not allowed to move. Feet stay in there. And you get to guess. Guess where you think the moon would be. You can go further away. You can go this way. You can go closer. Where do you think, Natalie? Hey, you got to hold the moon, right? You got to hold the earth, right? The earth doesn't move, okay? Right? There you go. Hold it there. Is that what you think? Is that a good guess? So you think the moon is right about there, right? And that's a really good guess, Natalie. But it's actually a little bit further away. I want you to come stand right over here. Natalie, come over here. Yeah, a little, a lot, and hold it up. That is about how far away the moon is from the Earth. Did you know that? 400,000 kilometers away, and it's up there rotating. Takes 28 days to go all the way around the Earth. That's great. Okay, you guys, give me your balls there, and you can have a seat. Okay, you guys can have a seat. And now we're going to go with the next one. And the next one, thank you for your time. Now, yes, Will, you got the big beach ball. And this beach ball is going to represent our sun. Okay? Now, the sun is a massive object, right? But we shrunk it down to the size of this beach ball. And Alexander, that little marble is going to represent the nearest planet to the sun. Do you know what the nearest planet to the sun is? It's not Neptune. Good guess, but it's not Neptune. Does anyone know what the nearest planet is to the sun? Shout it out. It's Mercury. That's right. Some other good guesses too. It's actually Mercury. Now, if Mercury were compared to the sun, it would be the sign of a tiny little BB about this big. But I figured nobody could see that, and you couldn't even really hold it. So we made a marble represent it, even though that's probably about 10 times the size that Mercury would be. I want you to walk down that center aisle, and I want you to guess how far away Mercury would be, and then stop whenever you think you got to the right distance. Okay? Stop whenever you get to the right distance. You can go further back, you can come closer, but just take a guess. Right there? Right there? You sure? Right there? Okay, I want you to hold up your marble nice and high. Okay, now in actual fact, it's a little bit further away. As a matter of fact, I want you to go all the way to the back door there and stand there. Run back there. There we go, Alexander. Good job. You see, Alexander? And I want you to hold up your marble nice and high. And that is how far away Mercury would be if the sun were this big. That's pretty impressive. Okay, you can have a seat. Now, by the way, Will, did you know that if we had the Earth and it were compared to that little marble, it would probably be where the YMCA is? And yeah, and if you went to the furthest planet, it would be several blocks away. So that's pretty cool. All right, you guys can go have a seat too. There we go. All right, thank you guys. Great. You're not allowed to keep the ball, Will. You got to leave it. Thanks, bud. You're awesome. Okay. Now, that just tells me about how big this universe is. And we're just talking about our own neighborhood, our own solar system. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, then God said, let it lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth, and that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Isn't that awesome? God is the one that made this, and he says that he just spoke it into existence. He didn't have to go to the shop to go figure out how to get parts. He just said, let it be, and the Bible says it was. Now, to give you an idea of how big our neighborhood is, because we're not just talking about our solar system, let's talk about the bigger picture. Let's go and talk about our neighborhood in the universe. And this is known as the galaxy that we live in. Does anyone know the name of our galaxy? That's right, it's the Milky Way. This is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy, our neighborhood here in the universe. Now, you see that that arrow? It says, you are here. Do you see that star that it's pointing to? How many of you see that star? You can't really see it, right? You know why? Because you can't see it. Do you know how many stars are in that galaxy? We guess there's approximately 200 to 400 billion of them just in this galaxy. And if you want to know how big the galaxy is, we don't get to measure it in kilometers, because how many of you know what that number is? That big number with all the zeros after it. What comes after? Let's see how smart the adults are. What comes after a billion? What comes after a trillion? Quadrillion. What comes after a quadrillion? A quintillion. What comes after a quintillion? A septillion. That's one septillion kilometers in diameter. How many of you know how big that is? Nobody really knows. Matter of fact, we don't get to measure it in kilometers. It's too big, so we measure it in light years. Light travels at 300,000 kilometers every second. That means if you shrunk the earth down to the size of this globe and you were to travel at the speed of light, do you know how many times you could cross the earth, go around the earth in 1 second? 7 times in 1 second. That's how fast it is. And that's the speed limit in the universe. But we're also told that it takes 4.5 years if you were traveling at that speed just to get to the nearest star. And it would take you 100,000 years just to get across our galaxy. That's how big our galaxy is. I mean, is God amazing or what? And when we look at this and we think about the size of our little area, I mean, it's hard to fully comprehend, isn't it? The reality is, our world, the world that we live in, is so, so small compared to the size even of our own neighborhood, never mind the size of the universe. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 12, it says, I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. I want to show you this next picture. I got a telescope 2 years ago, a year and a half ago for Christmas. And some of you know, you follow me on Facebook, you see me taking all these pictures on my telescope, and I'm trying to get this shot, this perfect shot, but the reality is I can't properly get it. I was scanning across my telescope, looking up at the sky, and I saw this jewel up there. There were 7 stars that shone so clearly and so brightly on the night that I was looking at it, and I looked it up in my astronomy stuff, the stuff I was reading, and it said, this is known as the 7 Sisters, or it's also known as Pleiades, and probably butchered the name of it, but that's what I was looking at. These stars, 7 of them that are major stars, there's a dust cloud out there, it says they're about 500 light years away, 442 light years away, and this is actually mentioned in the Bible. When God is speaking to Job, Job was a guy who was having a hard time, and he was having a really, really, really rough time. And he started to question God, and he said, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? And then he said, it's not fair. And then he questioned whether God was really in control. And then God asks him some questions. And this is what God says to him. He says, can you, Job, direct the movement of the stars? Binding the cluster of Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? How many of you know the constellation Orion? How many of you know that one? It's pretty clear in the night sky, right? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear, that's the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, with her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you regulate the earth? Do you know how to do it? And of course, the answer to all that would be, no, not really, I don't. I want to show you this video of how big our sun is compared to some of the really big stars out there in the universe. Let's take a look.
Seen from Earth, our sun is a blinding ball of light. But take away the glare, and one of the most powerful objects in the universe appears in our own backyard. It's a ball of superheated gas that's been lighting our solar system for 4.6 billion years and dominates all life on Earth.
The sun is 93 million miles away, and that means, in actuality, it's immense. You could fit 1 million Earths inside the sun. That's a lot.
It's nearly 1 million miles in diameter. Yet, our sun is tiny compared to the really big stars out there. Eta Carinae, over 5 million times larger than our sun. Betelgeuse, 300 times larger than Eta Carinae. If it was our sun, it would reach as far out as Jupiter. Then there's this monster, VY Canis Majoris, the largest star ever discovered, 1 billion times bigger than our sun.
So does that give you an idea of how big the universe is? that our sun is a million times larger than the earth. And we are told that the sun goes off with the power of 10 billion hydrogen bombs every second. That's how much power it has. And yet the sun is nothing compared to some of the stars that you can even see in the night sky. The one that was mentioned, the second biggest star, Betelgeuse, you can see that star at night. If you look up at Orion and you look up in the top left-hand corner of Orion, that star, which looks very orange because it's an orange hypergiant, that star is visible to the naked eye. It's 500 light years away. As a matter of fact, if you shrunk that massive sun down to the size of this tennis ball, okay? Imagine the sun. You could hold it in your hand. You're that big, okay? The nearest star to Earth, or to to our sun and to us, is Alpha Centauri. Maybe some of you know that. And Alpha Centauri's nearest sun, there's three of them, is about the same size as our sun. It's called Proxima Centauri. Did you know that if you shrunk our sun down to the size of this tennis ball, and you shrunk Proxima Centauri, which is the nearest star to us, down to the size of a tennis ball, do you know where that tennis ball would be? In Toronto. That's how far away it would be. And we are also told that there are more stars on this, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand in all the beaches and all the deserts on planet Earth. There are more stars than there are grains of sand. So how big is God? Who's the boss? Are you the boss? Am I the boss? Are we the boss somehow? Or is God somehow the boss? And the reality is, God, in the midst of all of this amazing power, and we can't even fathom it, has decided to focus on one little planet, the planet Earth. Earth. Have you ever thought about Earth and how much God loves us? This is where we live. This is where we were meant to be. The reality is, God knows every single person on this planet. It's not beyond his ability to know. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet, but it's a tiny little planet circling one of countless numbers of stars. And yet the Bible says that not a single sparrow falls to the ground without our Father knowing about it. How many sparrows are there on the earth? How many birds are there on the earth? God knows every single one. And Jesus said that he knows every single one of those sparrows. And he says that he knows the very hairs of your head. He knows how many you have. They're all numbered. So don't be afraid, because you are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. God knows your name. He knows who you are. Even though he created the vast universe, which we can't begin to comprehend, he still knows your name. And he knows my name. And the Bible tells us that he loved us. He saw us in our sin. He saw us in our brokenness. And he saw us separated from him. And all the evil that happens in this world and all the bad things that happen, that's not the way God created it. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And when he made human beings, the Bible says it was very good. But what happened was we decided to rebel against God. And because of that, we're separated from him. Because of that, death entered into this world. Because of that, brokenness came to relationships and people hurt one another. And it even affected the creative order, where we see that there are weeds and there are storms and sometimes there's mosquitoes that bite. But that's not the way God originally created it to be. And God is in the business of making things that are broken whole again. And that's what we celebrate here at Centerpoint Church. We celebrate the fact that even though we are sinners, every single one of us, myself especially included, there isn't a single sin that I couldn't commit, that God still loves me anyways. And that if I'm going to be with him and in a right relationship with him, I need to be forgiven of that sin and be made clean. And the Bible tells us that God knew exactly how to do that. And that I couldn't save myself. I mean, how could I, on this little tiny planet, circling one tiny little star, make up for and somehow impress the God of the universe? Can I do that? Is there anything I'm ever going to be able to do that's going to impress God in my abilities and my good works and my power? No. But there is one thing I can do. I can trust in him. and what he's done for me. And so God looked across the universe and he said, I got to rescue those people on that planet. I got to rescue those people that are down there and broken. And so I'm going to send my only son, and I'm going to send my only son who's fully God, and I'm going to make him and take him and put him in the form of a little baby boy. And so he became a little baby. And he was born, and he lived a perfect life, and the Bible says that he died on a cross. John 3:16 says, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. It was the first verse I ever learned, and it is my favorite verse, and it will always be my favorite verse, because God loved Glenn so much that he would even die for me, so that I might be able to be clean. I don't have to try to impress him to get into his family. All I got to do is trust in Jesus. And as I trust in Christ and I ask him to forgive me and make me clean, and I say, you took the penalty for me and you love me. I don't know why this universe is so big. It's so vast. I don't know why you even know my name. But not only do you know my name, you know how many hairs are on my head. You know everything about me, and yet you still love me. This is the message of the good news of Jesus that we at Centerpoint want to share with you, that I want to share with you, that we want to share with one another, and we want to share with the world. This quote that I've seen from Alistair Begg says this: because of what happened on Calvary, that's the place where Jesus died, God can look on man without displeasure, and we can look on God without fear. I mean, there's no reason I should be able to go before the God of the universe and who made Eta Carinae and Betelgeuse and VY Canis Majoris and all these galaxies and stars and black holes and somehow say I could just waltz into his presence. But God has given me the ability to do that, not to waltz, but to come on bended knee. And maybe tonight you've never heard it that way before. And you said, I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I've been too distracted by all these other things. But maybe today you want to give your heart to the Lord. What a great opportunity to do that. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You just got to believe and get low before God and say, you're the Lord of my life. I give it to you. And then I can live free, because here's the thing, is that he doesn't leave you. He comes and he lives with you. And death has no longer any victory, because no matter what happens to your physical frame, the Bible says that one day you'll be raised like Jesus is raised, victorious, alive, and incorruptible, and never die. And there'll be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more hurt and no more of those things that entrap us in sin, and that we'll be free. Isn't that great? Are you looking forward to that day? I know I am. I know I am. And so we can look at God and not try to control him, shake our fist at him, tell everybody that, you know what, I only believe in God if, but we'll believe in God because he has given us Jesus Christ. So I want to close with prayer this evening. And give you an opportunity, if you would like to maybe open your heart to Jesus. And as we do that, I just want to just say, it's such a privilege to be able to share these things with you, because I'm so excited. I mean, the more I get to see about God's creation and what he's done for me, and the more I get to hear about how Jesus is transforming lives, the more amazing it comes. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have a final song, and then we'll go. And by the way, I just wanted to say for our church family, if you're wondering where those little sheets are going to be as we close in our final song, we have our prayer sheets over here for the kiddos. I mean, God blesses us and keeps those kiddos, and we want them to live a life that's whole and focused on the Lord. So during the closing song, if you come up and take those two, that would be great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love for us knows no limits. How you could possibly die on the cross for us, sending your son in our place, I don't know. But you did. And you love us. And there may be some this evening that just, maybe they're just saying, hey, I've never heard it before that way, but I want to give my life to Christ. I just pray that they bow the knee and just open their hearts to Jesus, that they'd ask you to forgive them and say, hey, I just want to follow you from this day forward. And Father, I just thank you so much that you've created this universe, and yet you know each one of us by name. So I pray, as we close from here and we go from here, that we'd share this good news of our Savior Jesus Christ with others, that you are undeniably the most powerful, most awesome, most amazing, most majestic, most wonderful person. and the most loving and the most kind. We give our hearts to you, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.